I'm Isander.
And I'm Coda.
And today we're going to be doing something different.
A little bit different. We're going to be taking a little bit of a detour from the normal Warhammer 40K content to revisit another topic we did a little bit ago.
It's requested.
Requested.
So often.
Requested so often. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly often.
Like, doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
We are going to be...
We're going to be doing a little bit more Warframe. Okay. For those of you not in the know, I have dedicated way too much of my time to a very small Canadian indie project called Warframe.
I think if you had those hours put into anything else, you would probably be a master at it.
No, not quite.
It's enough that you'd be damn good at the piano.
Oh yeah, it would be. So because I've wasted so much time as one of 26 million registered losers, I will now use the knowledge I have gained over my 2,000 hours to feed you and you enough lore and game knowledge to figure out exactly which frame is the right one for you.
Okay. So all we're right. Just going to be going over every single... Ha, that's a lot of them.
56.
It's not as bad as League. Never mind.
Yeah. So we're going to bullet jump right into it, starting with the first Warframe, Excalibur.
I have pictures. I have visual aids.
You have visual aids on the
laptop here.
They're
very low res.
They are very low res because unfortunately, I don't know, I couldn't find good resources that would actually like pull up in a convenient manner.
I know this one. I played like 5 minutes of Warframe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's not a lot of lore around Excal, if you don't count Umbra, that is, other than he is the literal first Warframe. Not just gameplay-wise, but in-universe as well. That is the tests. You can actually look at, like, really, 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 really old test footage, and that is the Warframe that is there. Yeah. And he's also the first engineered one. He was the first one that Ballas got his weird, infested golem experiments to work on. Kind of. He still went insane like the rest of them and proceeded to indulge in a big murder cannibalism spree. We'll get a little bit deeper into that.
Okay.
But of all the space ninjas and columns, he was the first. The way he plays is really, really simple. Exactly what you'd expect.
Sword.
He's very straightforward. He's the sword guy. He's got swords. Yeah. His first ability, slash dash, makes him dash and slash. His second ability, radial blind, blinds enemies in a radius around him. His third ability, Radial Javelin, tosses javelins at enemies in a radius around him. Sure. And his fourth ability... Oh, his fourth ability. Excalibur's fourth ability has him drawing his exalted blade, a long sword made of energy that projects waves of plasma that cut through multiple enemies as it swings. And it's one of my favorite exalted weapons in the game.
Well, because you can keep it on forever.
Basically, if you build them right, yeah.
Yeah.
And it just does. So much damage if you set it up right. It's really good.
I have no idea. I didn't play that much.
It's really good. Next up is Volt. And again, there's not much lore here. We're going to find that with a lot of the OG frames is there's not a lot of backstory lore behind them, but there are some later on that get a little bit more in depth.
I'm going to get in trouble for this. I've never liked the way frames don't have clothing, but what look like sheets of skin instead.
Oh yeah. Well,
I've never been fond of that aesthetic, personally.
As we went over it in the big timeline video, there's a reason for that. These guys are technically people that got infected with a weird technological, biological plague. So that's like...
No, it's skin, it's leather.
That's a weird iron flesh.
Quarantine leather.
Again, yeah, these are not much lore.
Fun fact, did you know that's like... It's not from... It's leather from Corinth in, like, New York. Yeah. It's all marketing. They just wanted something that sounded good, and so they went with fine Corinthian leather.
Diamonds are the same thing. It makes sense.
Yeah.
He's still a really good guy. Volt is very good. He's got a lot of uses, but for some reason, a lot of people decide to sleep on him. He's a really, really, really fast frame. He's got huge CC, and with the right kit, he can put out some really good DPS. His first ability is cut and paste that one lightning spell from Skyrim. His second ability, speed, does exactly what you think it does. His third ability creates an electric shield in front of him, and his fourth ability sends out a shockwave all around him that damages and stuns everything it hits.
Okay.
It's a big EMP wave. After Volt is Mag. Mag is one of my favorites in the entire series, as much as I'm going to get a little bit of shit for that. Even though she's absolutely slept on by everyone, she uses magnetism, as her name suggests, to crush and shatter anything that stands in her way, and she looks damn good doing it. Her fashion frame is some of the best in the game, and I will stand by that. Her first ability, Pull, does exactly what it says on the tin. A lot of these early Warframes have that exact same problem. Her second ability, Magnetize, has two modes. The first one creates a bubble around an enemy that redirects every bullet and shard of metal nearby directly into that enemy. And the other mode has it so she kind of does the thing from Titanfall where she holds her hand out in front of her, catches all the bullets, and then poof, them
Magneto, back. It's Magneto.
It's Magneto.
God, I love Magneto.
It's Magneto.
God, I love Magneto. He looks like Granny Goodness in the newest show, but man, I love Magneto.
It's really good.
I'm so here for it.
Her third ability, Polarize, is an EMP wave that will not only disrupt every shield nearby, but also knock shards of armor off of enemies, which get cool. caught in that magnetic bubble.
That's pretty cool.
So she can become a blender if you try, like, really build for it. And her fourth ability, Crush. Yeah.
Okay.
Next up, Trinity, the healer. And not to tip the scales, but I'll be dead honest. Trinity makes a lot of sense really early in the game when your squad's hasn't been volumetrically compressed yet, but as soon as you and your friends finally figure out the game, she becomes less and less relevant. Not that she's bad, there are just other options that you can have that are either more engaging or a better fit for most squads. She is really good for Eidolon hunts, though, keeping the lures alive, which is really cool and surprisingly difficult to do. Her first ability, Well of Life, stops an enemy dead in its tracks and basically turns it into a health totem for you and everybody nearby. Her second ability, Energy Vampire, does the exact same thing, but for your energy. Her third ability, Link, draws energetic links to every enemy nearby and projects all the damage you take onto those enemies. And her fourth ability, Blessing, sends out a burst of healing to teammates nearby while also giving them a little bit of a temporary defense buff.
Boof.
For a short amount of time. I think it depends on how you build it.
I'll be honest, I don't play healers in anything, so that
And Warframe is a game that kind of demands you to go attack more, not really sit and support. There are some supports that are really good, but they're the kind of supports that support you by killing everything in the room.
Favorite kind of support.
Yeah. Next up is Ember. You'll instantly recognize she is the Fireframe. She's another one with some really, really good fashion frame, but I'm going to be dead honest. She's just one I don't vibe with very much. Not that she's bad, just that it's not for me.
Is the sword part of her kit or is that just for art?
The sword is just part of, like, it's just there for art.
Just curious.
Her entire gimmick is managing a heat gauge that will increase her damage and damage protection.
Oh, I like this game.
With some of her abilities.
Oh, I like this game.
But it's really never clicked with me. Oh. Ember is going to show up on this list today as the first with just a little bit of backstory. It's kind of insinuated in her codex entry that she was, before she got turned into a Warframe, she was one of the first of the recovery officers who went on to the Zeraman and discovered the Tenno children there.
Hmm.
Which is why she's the Fireframe, because as soon as they saw her, they got scared and burned her. So...
Yikes.
Yeah, that's kind of where she gets her theming. Her first ability, Fireball, is exactly what you think it is. Her second ability, Immolation, surrounds herself with a fiery blaze that melts projectiles on contact and reduces damage from, like, melee strikes. Her third ability, Fire Blast, creates an explosive blaze around herself, and her fourth ability, Inferno, starts raining meteorites on everyone in the area.
If I remember correctly,
she used to be able to do self-damage with that as well, which was a time.
Yeah, anytime.
A time.
Anytime you can kill yourself in a game is amusing.
It's very amusing, especially with the ragdoll physics in Warframe. It gets funny. Next up is Loki, and Loki has always been one of my favorites. Between his weird trickery and the really good fan-made skins people have created, I love that Incubus skin. Loki is a classic in my book. As his namesake implies, Loki is a trickster. His first ability, Decoy, sets a decoy on the map that constantly makes noise and grabs attention of any and all enemies nearby. His second ability, Invisibility, does exactly what you think it does. His third ability is the Jujutsu technique, Boogie Woogie.
That's so specific, like 10 people. 10 people are going to get that. Tops.
And his fourth ability, Please Radial Disarm. So in Jujutsu Kaisen, there's a guy.
You don't need to give the full context. Clap, switch
places. He claps, switch places instantaneously.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. His fourth ability, Radial Disarm, disarms every enemy in a certain radius. And if you have its augment, it also makes them start attacking each other, which is good, but. Yeah, that really is all there is to Loki, but you know, it's a very simple kit. it's just, it doesn't need to be any more complex. It's just simple and fun. And it's really fun switch teleporting your squad mates into silly situations. Or deciding to run the entire mission deadly silent and never being seen once.
Couldn't you theoretically keep people at spawn by constantly switching?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, well, that's awful.
Yeah, some people do that. I think they had to nerf his switch teleport because of that.
Okay.
Next up is Rhino. And Rhino is the first Warframe... Yeah, you do know this one. This is the first one I told you to get after your starter.
Mm-hmm. And I had to wait like 3 days to make the full thing, and I was that's
one of the downsides to Warframe. Rhino is the first Warframe where we start testing the limits of what can really be called a space ninja. Rhino's entire gimmick is he is large and unassailable.
Was that the mission statement for every frame? Ninjas in space?
The tagline used to be space ninjas.
Ah.
Okay. Which...
Yeah, it's testing it.
Yeah. He also has a little bit of backstory to him as well, being the first Warframe to be tamed. Remember earlier when I said they went crazy and went on murder cannibalism sprees? Rhino was the first one to kind of figure out, Tenno can control these guys, when on one of those murder cannibalism sprees, he wandered into a room with them and just went dead calm.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, before that, the Warframes were kind of just dropped onto a battlefield as like nukes, and they would either need to be destroyed or violently subdued in order to get recaptured.
It's my favorite kind of weapon. Just drop it somewhere. We'll fix it later.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. His first ability, Rhino Charge, is self-explanatory. His second ability, Iron Skin, is also pretty self-explanatory.
I'm the Juggernaut.
His third ability, Roar, will buff him and his allies with a rallying cry. And his fourth ability, Rhino Stomp, has him stomping the ground in front of him so hard that he sends people into midair and they float there. He like stomps the ground so hard he basically stops time for a moment.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's weird. Not entirely sure how that's supposed to work.
Rule of cool.
But it is what it is. Rule of cool. The next frame on the list is Ash, and unlike ninja. Rhino, he sticks really hard to the definition of space ninja.
Yeah, for sure. Is that a kunai?
Yep.
That is a kunai. Okay, sorry.
Literally everything in his kit is ninja inspired. His first ability, Shuriken, is a shuriken. His second ability, Smokescreen, is a smoke bomb that lets him move around invisible for a time. His third ability, Teleport, teleports him behind you. It's not personnel. And his fourth ability summons a bunch of shadow clones to just start stabbing enemies en masse around him. And like a good ninja, I guess he's made sure we also know nothing about his backstory.
Yep.
Yeah.
That one tracks.
Yeah. Next up is Frost, and Frost is honestly a heartbreak story for me. I used to love Frost, but right now the stuff in the game just seems to have forgotten him. Frost's entire thing is ice, and he plays into this bit really hard. There are some helmets that just look like freezer compressor units, and he looks like he's wearing a big Russian greatcoat, which I have always loved. It's really cool.
This is pretty cool.
His first ability, Freeze, does that thing Frozone does. His second ability, Ice Wave, sends a wave of sharp ice crystals out in front of him to impale enemies. His fourth ability, Avalanche, freezes enemies around him and then shatters them after a second. And my favorite that I skipped for dramatic timing, his third ability, Snow Globe, creates a big globe of ice that acts as a barrier around you.
Okay.
I love Snow Globe. Snow Globe's fun. Next up is Nyx, and she is one of my guilty pleasures. Nyx is objectively bad. Her kit is pretty useless, but I love her fashion frame, and my favorite type of Pokemon for the longest time was psychic type. So, of course, Nyx took my heart.
People are into this one, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. That and another frame that you'll see later.
Okay.
Her first ability, Mind Control, is self-explanatory. Her second ability, Psychic Bolts, sends out a wave of psychic energy that seeks out enemies and does the equivalent of tickling them. Her third ability, Chaos, drives every enemy in an area into a frenzy, making them attack any and everything.
Oh, okay.
And her fourth ability, Absorb, has her pull into a perfect Zen state, grabbing every point of damage into an orb around her and releasing all that damage at any moment of her choosing. But she can't move for that entire arrangement unless you have her augment mod. And honestly, the damage kind of gets nerfed as it comes in. So you don't get the full 100% damage numbers that you took in.
So you stay still and you can deal all the damage, or you move and you can deal some of it, but you could reposition.
No. That is even without the, like, when you're standing still, you don't get 100% of the damage you take in.
That's lame.
Yeah, I wish it was, but... It's fine. Again, honestly, she's not really good, but I just love her concept so much that I still play her for fun sometimes, and she's got some really good fashion frame too. Next on the list is Banshee, and she lives up to that name, barely. She does do a lot of acoustic-based stuff, but honestly, I think it would be cool to have more scream-based powers, as you would expect from a Banshee. She does have a really good-looking Prime variant, in my personal opinion, and there's a lot of cool fashion frame for her, but that's pretty much as far as I'll go. She's also very squishy, which makes her a bit tough to play.
Sound is a weapon.
Her first ability is Sonic Boom, which blasts a sound wave in front of her to send enemies flying. Her second ability, Sonar, uses sound waves to find every weak spot in enemies' armor, and she'll highlight it for everybody in her squad. Her third ability, Silence, will... And her fourth ability, Soundquake, has her drive all of her sound wave controlling power into the ground to cause very violent earthquakes that damage things over time.
Hmm.
Yeah, Soundquake's cool.
Sound is hard to do as in games, generally. It
really is. Soundquake alone used to have her being the best frame in the game for just defense missions, because it used to extend out so far, and she used to have an augment mod that would make the damage tick up the longer she had the thing going. But she got really nerfed, and it kind of stuck her in the ground.
Well, I more mean just doing it properly, because you have the option of, yes, this could be the loudest thing imaginable, but man, people don't want that.
Yeah.
I think the only game that's ever done sound as
I don't think Warframe is against mental flashbangs, considering there are a lot of particle and visual effects that can make the game almost impossible to see through.
If you have somebody who's using sound as a weapon, you'd have to deafen your players if you wanted to do it right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, blow their drivers every single time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly...
And it's not like they're not already blinding them.
And the only game I've seen it do well was Overwatch.
Overwatch?
Yeah, because Lucio makes it work.
Yeah.
He makes it work.
But he's more of a music than a sound frame.
Yeah, but that's still using sound.
Yeah, I do love Lucio.
Yeah.
That's nothing against Lucio, but, like... He's a music guy, and he does music very well.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. Saren's up next, and she's an absolute fan favorite, for good reason. From her fashion frame, to her kit, to just her overall energy. I love Saren. Saren was originally created to combat the infestation by becoming her own infestation, and by God, is she good at her job. Her first ability, Spores, drops a lump of disease onto an enemy that spreads whenever an infected enemy dies. And for every enemy that's infected with a spore, the damage on all spores increases second by second. So the more things that are infected, the more her damage ticks up, the more she damages more things.
It gets worse and worse and worse.
Yes. Her second ability, Molt, molts her chitinous shell as a decoy to grab enemies' attention. Her third ability, Toxic Lash, spreads a bunch of gross on her weapons to make them deal toxic damage and break and spread the spores on hit. And her final and fourth ability, Miasma, spreads a volatile mist of disease that infects everyone in an area with even more illness. She's gross, but it's great.
Pandemic. That's all she is.
You know, around 2020, I had a build of her that I just called COVID-19. Or a loadout with her that I called COVID-19.
Oh, God.
Next up is Vauban, and no one can figure out exactly how to say his name. Some people say Vauban, some people say Vauban, some people say Vauban.
I don't know how I feel about this design.
Nobody can figure it out. Vauban is the first gadgeteer of the cast, and he really loves his balls. His abilities all have something to do with his balls. His first ability, Tesla Nervos, tosses out four ball drones that seek and electrocute enemies around the map. His second ability, Mind Layer, lets him swap between four kinds of balls that generate various kinds of traps. His third ability, Photon Strike, has him throwing a ball that acts as a tracing device for an orbital laser. And his fourth ability, Bastille, alternates between raising a big circle of energy that lifts and incapacitates enemies to a singularity vortex that sucks in and traps enemies. His face is also a train.
Yeah, I was going to say it's giving train control.
Nova's up next, and she's really cool conceptually. She's the antimatter Warframe, so all of her abilities have something to do with messing with either matter or the fabric of space-time itself.
Okay.
Her first ability generates a bunch of small antimatter orbs that orbit her and come into contact with incoming projectiles to nullify them on contact, or seek out enemies and contact them for an explosive effect. Her second ability, Antimatter Drop, creates a bigger orb of antimatter that she can store damage into by just shooting it, And as soon as it comes in contact with anything normal matter, it will create a massive explosion. Her third ability creates a wormhole tunnel, and her fourth ability, Molecular Prime, will surround nearby enemies with volatile antimatter, just ready to explode at the slightest disturbance. It will also slow the enemies that are encased in antimatter as they struggle against it. Because, you know, you touch it and just... Next up is Necros. Necros is the Grim Reaper, but a weird scavenger version of the Grim Reaper. His first ability, Soul Punch, makes him literally punch the soul out of an enemy so hard it will fly back and damage anything behind it. His second ability, Terrify, just scares the shit out of everyone around him and makes them slightly weaker to damage. His third ability, Desecrate, which is the one everybody plays him for, makes enemies drop more loot after they die.
Okay.
And it's really...
Oh, I see why people would...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And his fourth ability revives the corpses of several enemies around him to fight as his own personal zombie army.
Okay, I see why people like that.
Yeah. Necros is pretty cool. I like him. It's just his first two abilities are kind of lame in practice.
But that third one.
Yeah, that third one. That makes him. After Necros is Valkyr, and Valkyr is cool and kind of sad. As far as we know, she used to be a normal-ish frame up until she was dragged out of cryosleep and stripped for parts to be used for some corpus experiments, after which she went berserk and raged so hard against her captors she, like, found her new powers. Or at least that was what the lore was before it was retconned by her prime variant, but I willfully choose to be ignorant and still think of that as her lore. She's also the other frame that people are really into.
I was gonna say.
Yeah. Her first ability, Ripline, violently oscillates between being Spider-Man powers and Scorpion's rope dart. Her second ability, Warcry, buffs her melee attacks and slows down her enemies. Her third ability, Paralysis, shunts some of her shields directly into enemies to slow them even further for a short time. And her fourth ability, Hysteria, gives her Wolverine claws to rip and tear enemies to shreds. While also making her completely invincible to damage as long as she's got the ability up.
Yeah.
And she also used to, until very recently, had the highest armor rating in the game at 600 armor.
Horrifying.
Yeah, she was tough. Oberon's up next, and he plays decently well into his namesake, except this time the Fairy King has traded his crown for armor and his trusty flail. Oberon is the defender of nature, which is weird when you consider that all of his attacks do radiation damage, but also either are nature or fae themed in practice. So, you know, maybe it's radiation, maybe it's just some fae ripping your soul out as they seem to do all the time. Also, he's literally the goat.
I mean, if you want to make nature untouchable and be left alone, radiation's an effective way to do it.
I guess he's like the Chernobyl area of
because nobody's there. There's nothing going on there.
Yeah.
No runoff. Well, okay, there is runoff, but...
His first ability, Smite, sends out an orb of energy that seeks and destroys enemies. His second ability, Hallowed Ground, spreads spirit fire and ivy in an area that will give any enemy that steps in it air radiation burns. His third ability, Renewal, heals and reinforces all of his allies second by second. And his fourth ability, Reckoning, picks up every enemy nearby and slams them into the ground with radioactive energy as they hit the ground.
Hmm.
Yeah. So he's fae, but radioactive. I don't know. It's weird, but... Vengeful nature spirit. Yep. Zephyr is up next, and just like her name assumes, she is a wind spirit. She's got a really cool bird aesthetic going on, with the patterns and textures on her base skin resembling feathers. And she has, in my opinion, one of the best deluxe skins in the game right now, made by Liger Inuzuka. That's really mecha-inspired and cool, and I really, really love it.
Whoa.
That's the good image of that, because that's the original
art. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also got, like, a weird, like, sci-fi, like, racer theme going on, because she has her own custom ship that comes with the skin as well. Mm-hmm. It looks really good. If I remember correctly, Liger was working on some form of futuristic racing game, and this was some of the concept that art that was left over that he still owned when that project fell through, and so he just said, oh,
no, we can repurpose this.
Repurpose it into Warframe, and it looks really, really good.
I'm here for that.
Yes. Right now, when it comes to our kit, we hear a bit of a different story from how cool that is. Her first ability, Tailwind, will charge her forward in any direction, and if you're midair, you can dive bomb into the ground if you look down. Her second ability, Airburst, will send a blast of air out in front of her, knocking enemies down. Her third ability, Turbulence, creates wind disturbances around her that will redirect projectiles around her body. And her fourth ability, Tornado, does exactly what you think it might do. She also has really light and hollow bird bones, so she falls really slowly in the air.
Oh,
yeah, she really floats more than falls.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Hydroid is the next frame, and I really have...
I was going to ask, we've gotten fire, air, where's water and earth?
Here is water. Hydroid is the next frame, and I really have a love-hate relationship with him. I think the devs do too. He's needed a rework for years, and he's only gotten half measures, like switching some abilities around or lightly tuning what they do. But he's also really cool because he's got a whole pirate theming to him, and his deluxe skin has a really, really neat design, and I love him for that. I just wish he'd get a little bit more love. Are you looking up the skin?
Yeah, I was curious. Oh, wow.
It looks like full, like, pirate god of the sea.
Okay, that is much cooler than his base skin, by
yes,
quite
by
a
leaps
wide,
and bounds.
Wide margin.
His first ability, Tempest Barrage, paints an area on the map and just starts raining car-sized raindrops on it. His second ability, Tidal Surge, has him rush forward with a wave of water. His third ability, Plunder, has him stealing enemy armor and making them weaker to corrosion damage, while also making his weapons do corrosion damage. Okay. And his fourth ability, Tentacle Swarm, has him release the Kraken in a small area to wreak havoc with tentacles.
Those sound cool.
That the tentacles are very cool.
No, all of the abilities. I'm sorry, rust? Weaponized rust?
Oh, yeah.
I'm here for weaponized rust.
Yeah. He also used to have an ability that let him turn into a puddle, and you could change the color of that puddle with your energy color, and it was very funny changing that color to yellow.
Who's next?
Mirage is up next, and she is trickster at heart. But where Loki is more refined and purposeful with his tricks, Mirage is devious and deadly. From little pieces I could find about her lore, Mirage seemed to be one of the few Warframes that retained her autonomy, at least for a little bit, with their creator Ballas ruminating on her distorting his design and eventually her having the last laugh when it came to that. And considering she would not be the only frame to be functional on her own, and to reassemble her, you need to solve riddles that she presumably wrote, I don't think that's too much of a conspiracy theory. Mirage's first ability, Hall of Mirrors, summons up to 4 spectral clones around her that distract the enemy, but also wield her exact same weapons and fire them in sync with you, creating a one-woman firing squad. Her second ability, Sleight of Hand, traps all of the items, consoles, and crates in the area, making it so that any enemy that wants to sound the alarm meets a very sudden end. Her third ability, Eclipse, changing depending on her lighting conditions. In the dark, she will become completely invisible and harder to hit, and in good lighting, her damage goes up immensely.
That's cool.
Yeah. Her fourth ability, Prism, has her generate a prismatic orb that will redirect light into lasers that target nearby enemies and fry them. And then after a little bit, the orb will explode, blinding them and shattering prism glass into them as well. Because it's not like that just goes away. Next up is Limbo. And Limbo is one of my absolute favorite frames, as much as he annoys everybody else in my squad. Limbo is a physicist at heart, and that shows up in his backstory, with him trying to push through the limits of space-time and break through the very fabric of reality into some neighboring dimension. He fails at first, and his frame completely explodes, sending pieces flying all over Sol's system. But in the quest you do to get him, you end up helping him finish his calculations, finally figuring out his abilities. And oh, how fun his abilities are. His first ability, Banish, sends enemies and allies alike into the Rift, a place midway between here and some esoteric mirror dimension counterpart. His second ability, Stasis, makes everything, people, projectiles, anything, just stand still. Yes, this is a JoJo reference. His third ability, Rift Surge, is a bit complex, and this is where people start to get lost. It first binds Rift enemies, or Rift energy, to enemies within the Rift, and then when they die, they will send that Rift energy out to people outside of the Rift, and when then those guys die, they will banish everybody who's not in the Rift into the Rift around them, and then also propagate the Rift Surge to them.
I get it.
It's really weird, and some people don't get it at first, and also sometimes it doesn't function as intended. Okay, so be careful with this ability. It will annoy people. And then his fourth ability, Cataclysm, creates a big bubble. Like, it rips the rift into real space, creating a big bubble of rift in an area. This is another one that will irritate people because it will divide the battlefield in half, which is really good if you, like, have some strong enemies that you want dealt with before the rest. But you can't fire bullets into the rift and kill enemies in the rift. You have to be in the rift to kill enemies in the rift. So you will have to get banished outside of the bubble to shoot into the bubble from outside the bubble.
I see.
Yeah, yeah. It gets a little bit weird. But he's still really good. Next frame on the list is Mesa, and she has not one, but two big irons on her hip. She is the rootin' tootin' shootin' bandit of the squad, and she really commits to that bit, giving you a buff to your health if you just decide to toss your melee away.
Oh.
Yeah, you can just go full guns blazing.
Yeah.
No melee.
No melee.
Her abilities are very simple, but really powerful. And really, when you just have, you know, big iron, that's all you need. Her first ability will make it so all of the damage you do will get saved up into one big shot. Her second ability will make it so you have a rotating buff that goes from you to teammate to teammate to teammate, and it will buff, I think, the firing speed of your shots, as well as making enemies' guns nearby just jam around you mystically. Her third ability basically attaches some bulletproof plate to her, and so she will take a lot of reduced damage from gunshots, but not from melee attacks. So you want to keep people away. And her fourth ability, Peacemaker, is reserved exclusively for High Noon. She pulls out her two regulator pistols and she just starts going. She starts shooting everything in an area. But over time, she does become more focused. And with that, she increases her fire rate. But she shoots one person at a time instead of like the entire area. So you got to take that. You got to be careful with that one. You can get high single target damage, but just
be wary.
Be wary. Know what you're doing. Next up is Chroma, and Chroma is cool thematically. In his backstory, he was supposed to be a counter to the Sentients by being just as adaptable as them, but for some reason, he ended up going rogue. Maybe because the pelt, the dragon pelt he's wearing, may or may not be a sentient creature. That is the backstory we got before he released, and then after he released, and after his prime variant released, and the pelts didn't really look like anything sentient related. It got a little fuzzy, but again, this is retconned lore that I'm going to delude myself into believing, because it's more fun than just sitting there and going, that's how he is, because that's how he is.
Sometimes popular lore can be compelling.
Yeah.
Sometimes yeah. It can be.
It honestly. Really, really
A lot of can. The time it's not. Man, but sometimes.
Sometimes it's really good. Chroma's kit revolves entirely around what colors he's running on his frame, which makes him like more of a chameleon frame than a dragon, but it's fine. His first ability, Spectral Scream, is a breath attack that changes its elemental effect depending on what color you're running. His second ability, Elemental Ward, buffs his armor and also sends out waves of elemental energy, again, depending on which color you're running. His third ability, Vex Armor, is a little bit weird. It will make it so he increases his attack and his health his attack and his defense, depending on if you have damaged his health or shield respectively. And his fourth ability sheds that pelt that he has. It becomes kind of autonomous, sticks in an area, and starts like shooting out blasts of elemental energy, as well as using Spectral Scream on enemies that come nearby.
Are there any like chromas that change color constantly?
Unfortunately, bi-color ones? Not. It would be really cool if there was a color picker you could select that would just like RGB vomit your energy color, and he would violently oscillate between elements. But unfortunately, you pick one and you stick with it for the mission.
Mm.
Yeah.
Kind of lame.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that should be DE, if you're listening, that should be his next augment mod. Just the RGB vomit mod.
Powered by Razor.
Equinox is up next, and I love Equinox. Equinox is not just one frame, they are a two-for-one deal, having a form that represents day and a form that represents night. In keeping with that theme, their abilities shift and change depending on which form they're in.
Oh, I thought you were going to say lighting conditions again.
No.
I liked lighting conditions.
Lighting conditions is really cool. Their first ability, Metamorphosis, just flip-flops between the two frames.
Night and day.
Her second ability, Rest and Rage, will put enemies to sleep in her night form. And will, if I remember correctly, it'll make them weaker to damage in the day form. Their third ability, Pacify and Provoke, will make your teammates more resistant to damage in night form, and it will increase their ability strength in day form. And their final ability, Mend and Maim, in their night form, Mend will make it so any amount of damage you do to enemies will kind of bank into a pool that you keep, and you can burst it out into a big burst of healing at any point you want to, which is really good. What is better is Maim, that will actively start slashing at enemies with it's called a slashing aura around you, and it will bank all of the damage that you do to enemies to release in a big burst at any moment of your choosing.
That is better.
What is really cool is if you have two Equinoxes, you can ping pong that damage between each other, because the damage that Maim does, another Equinox's Maim can bank. Yeah.
Dear Lord.
So you can get that damage up to like 22k, which is a critical mass of damage in certain levels.
It will kill things.
And then you can just tag team it to each other.
Huh.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's very, very fun. Next up is Atlas. And in doing the research for this episode, I learned a lightly dark fact about him that we'll get to in just a moment. Atlas is a literal rock M'Sakam robot. His abilities all revolve around either hitting something really hard or rocks in some manner. His first ability, Landslide, has him charge forward and punch something in the face really, really hard. His second ability, Tectonics, raises a wall in front of him made of rocks that he can punch, and it will roll forward in front of him, Indiana Jones style. His third ability, Petrify, just Medusas everything in front of him. And his fourth ability, Rumblers, will summon two rock golems around to help him fight. And the dark thing I learned was these are shattered fragments of some former enemies of his that he's just kept around. These are the shattered, petrified remains of his long, long nemesis, long, long dead nemesis that he's kept around and used his tools.
Don't cross me.
Don't cross him. So I guess we could count him along one of the necromancy frames alongside Necros. Next up is Wukong, and he's literally cut and paste Wukong from Journey to the West.
Okay.
Right down to the several layers of invulnerability, his passive ability automatically reviving him three times a mission. He has his first ability, Celestial Twins, does what he does in the book, where he plucks a hair from himself and he clones himself, and this clone will use your exact weapons and fight independently of you. His second ability, Cloud Walker, has him jump into the clouds, and you've seen DBZ.
Yeah,
he does that, except he goes very fast and he heals for every meter he moves, which is an insane amount of healing. His third ability will put him in an invulnerable state where he starts banking damage that he'll eventually release in one big swing of his iron staff. And also, for every point of damage he takes, he will gain a little bit of armor, maxing out 1500, which is a lot. And his fourth ability, Primal Rage, will have him pull out the iron staff and just start swinging it wildly, with it growing for every enemy he hits. Much like the Iron Staff does in Journey to the West.
It's Wukong.
Ivara, the Huntress. Though Artemis is not her namesake, it really should be. She is the stealthy archer of the group, and man, is she good at her job. Her first ability, Quiver, cycles between four arrows that she can fire out. One creates a lot of noise in an area, distracting people. One puts a bunch of enemies to sleep in an area. One creates a bubble that just cloaks everybody in it. And the fourth one creates a zip line that she can walk along ninja style. Her second ability, Navigator, allows her to directly control and direct an arrow, making it go around corners or over walls or just wherever she wants to send it. Her third ability, Prowl, is one of the best invisibility skills in the game. The only downside is she has to walk through it. She can't sprint, but she can pickpocket things with 100% success without being seen, and she can fire any weapon that doesn't make noise, and she'll never be seen. Which is really good, considering her fourth ability is the Artemis bow. This is the one thing she has that's Artemis titled. I don't know why her name isn't. She materializes a very powerful bow that, Rambo style, she knocks several arrows and fires them off shotgun style. They're very, very powerful. She also fires them in a line, so she can straight up just like fire, I think it's like 7 or 9, just like directly, and they do boop, 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 boop down someone, or she can hold it for a little bit, turn the bow sideways, and fire them fan outwards.
And just get everyone.
Yeah. Neja is another frame inspired by Chinese mythology, with his namesake being the god of protection, and he kind of lives up to that name. In his backstory, there's a group of children on a planet that the Corpus are trying to take over very violently, and Neja comes to their rescue, just massacring everything there. In an event that I don't remember exactly what it's called, but I know it's labeled a massacre, and the insinuation there is, oh, the Corpus got all those children, but no.
No.
His first ability, Firewalker, makes it so he leaves a trail of flames wherever he walks, and it increases his movement speed. His second ability, Blazing Chakram, has him throw the big disc on his back that whoever it hits will drop more health and energy when they die, and he can also just at any time teleport it to it while it's out. His third ability, Warding Halo, will summon a disc around him that will just tank things for him. He basically has infinite health when that thing's on. And his fourth ability, Divine Spears, will summon a bunch of divine spears from the ground that will impale and incapacitate enemies. He's really good. I love Neja. He moves very, very fast. He's like almost one of the fastest frames in the game. Almost. Just barely beaten out. The next one is the Mummy as a Warframe. Inaros, after the fall of the Orokin, became the patron protector of a small group on Mars. A bunch of leftover Orokin forces and a bunch of infestation incursions were just attacking this random small group on Mars, and he just came through and defended them. Eventually, one of these infested attacks basically put him on death's door, and to honor him, they said, no, we're just going to embalm you, and whoever comes along next will help bring you back to life, which is you, the player. You end up doing that in the quest where you get him. His first ability, Pocket Sand, is Desiccation. His second ability, Sandstorm, activates his Spinjitzu abilities, and he becomes a living Sandstorm. His third ability, Scarab Swarm, sacrifices some of his health to create a scarab shell around him, which will increase his armor and make it so he's a little bit harder to kill. And his fourth ability is very new, as in it was just changed this update, and so I haven't had the chance to take a look at it, but I guess what it does is it sends out a swarm of scarabs that will eat enemies, and as they eat them will summon a sandy cat that will then lead the swarm around to bigger and bigger enemies.
Weird.
It's really cool. I saw it in the trailer. It's very, very cool. Next up is Titania, and just like Oberon, she lives up to her namesake, being the fairy queen of the forest with her own entourage of deadly butterflies. Titania was created when Balis basically forced a scientist named Sylvana to integrate her natural sciences into a Warframe, and because of that, Sylvana despises Titania. She didn't want to do that. So, in a little bit of a move of resistance, Sylvana took her natural sciences to Earth, which was an infested plague ground at the time, and she basically revitalized the planet, turning it into a massive forest, which you see it as today, the center of which is called the Silver Grove. The weird void magic that the Tenno use to interact with their Warframes, people can also do too, but people can't come back from that. So as soon as they link to what they link to, they can't come back to their own bodies. Mm. And that's what happened to Sylvana. She put her soul into the Silver Grove. The Orkin didn't like this. So they sent a bunch of soldiers to go burn down the forest as a big, like, screw you. And Titania popped out of nowhere, just protecting her. Even though Sylvana really, really, really hated her. Her first ability, Spellbind, grabs an enemy and plucks them into midair, and then they act as a totem, giving her allies all buffed health. Her second ability, Tribute, sacrifices an enemy to those butterflies that surround her, and then they provide her with a buff that you can also give to all of your teammates. Her third ability, Lantern, plucks up another enemy and lights them up, and they act as... every enemy around becomes a moth to the flame and just starts attacking that thing until it eventually explodes all over them. And her fourth ability is so cool. She shrinks down to fairy size and starts flying around the map, joining her razor wings, the butterflies I talked about, just wreaking havoc upon everything. Her butterflies get stronger. She gets very strong, like, pixie weapons, and she gets to roam around, flying around the maps. It's really cool.
It's pretty cool.
I like Titania. Nidus is up next, and he is the king of the infection, having a deep and precise control over it. He's able to summon his own version, like own strain of the infested.
I like him.
He's able to control it in depth. He's really, really cool. His first ability sends forth a wave of infection, and it gets him more mutated DNA.
Okay.
Yeah. His second ability summons a weird tentacled homunculus to just grab enemies with its tentacles and suck them into one space to be hit by his first ability. His third ability spends a couple of his mutated DNA fragments to link himself to an ally or to an enemy, which will get different effects depending on what you
do. I was going to say, like, you take my damage for me effects, or?
If you link to an enemy, the enemy will take the damage for you. If you link to an ally, you'll both share your damage. Well, okay. The damage you do to enemies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And his fourth ability is the penultimate gross. He summons a pit of infestation gross that will spawn these little, they're called maggots, that will go seek out enemies and start infecting them to collect more mutations for Nidus himself.
That is awful. I hate that.
He's gross, but I love him. Also, you can't kill him because every time he dies, he didn't. He just spends 15 mutations.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's really good. Next on the list is...
I would play the hell out of him.
He's really cool. He's hard to get, though.
Does he have any other... See, that was my biggest complaint about that game.
Yeah, some things are just so
hard. Does he have any of those alternate skins?
Yeah, he does. He just got a Prime variant, which I'm not going to lie, I don't like his Prime as much. I think he might have a Deluxe skin, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This might get me to consider things.
Go on. Next on the list is Octavia, and she's really neat. She is the music frame, and she gets experimental with the game. She has a entire music production minigame attached to her where she pulls out a weird...
You have shown me this one.
Yeah, she pulls out a weird Yu-Gi-Oh! Like card deck thing, and she starts writing notes on it. And please stop playing Jellyfish Jam. Thank you.
You can play Jellyfish Jam?
Oh, God. Yes.
Oh.
And that's what everybody plays.
Oh, yeah.
Her first ability pounds the drum beat into things' heads. Her second ability makes a little orb that will play the bass lines that will distract enemies and bring them closer to the first ability. Mm-hmm. And it'll also carry the first ability around so it can get damage all over the map.
Can you play any song?
Not any song. It goes off of a 5-note pentatonic minor scale, so you are very limited in your choice, but people have gotten very creative. Okay. And then there are also people who have copy-pasted Jellyfish Jam.
Okay, well...
Her third ability, Metronome, starts playing the melody of her songs out, and then you can play the game in tune with the music for different buffs. Like, if you crouch or slide in time with the music, eventually you go invisible.
Oh, that's so cool.
If you shoot in time with the music, eventually you'll get a damage boost. If you jump in time with the music, eventually you'll get a speed boost. Yeah, she's really cool.
Okay, I'm here for this one.
Fourth ability, Amp, does what you think it does. It amplifies your damage and the damage of your first ability, depending on how much noise is happening in the room. So
I quite like this one. This is creative. Never mind. Octavia, I think this may be the best sound weapon I've heard.
Octavia is so good. Harrow is next, and he's the penitent one. Harrow spent a couple years serving as the single linchpin keeping the man in the wall out of our universe.
The man in the wall?
Yeah, the man in the wall. I know. The scary extra-dimensional being. Mm-hmm. Eventually, it kind of drove Harrow and his user, Rel, insane. And so we had to go release him from his duties, bringing the man of the wall back into the universe, which kind of sucks, but it is what it is. Harrow's entire kit revolves around either prayer or chains. So if you have a thing for priests, this is the guy for you.
Oh, brother.
His first ability waves his thurible forward, and any enemy trapped in the...
Is throwable?
No, it's not throwable, but he waves it forward. Mm. And so a bunch of, incense smoke travels forward in front of it. And anything trapped in the incense smoke will have spiritual chains grab them and chain them to the ground.
Okay.
And for every enemy chained, he'll gain some shields. His second ability, I think penitence is what it's called, he will flagellate himself with the thurible. And for every point of shields he has, he will heal his allies. His third ability... he'll start waving the thurible around, praying over it, and he'll spend his energy to get more energy back for every kill he does.
I need more priests in combat. This is so cool.
He's so cool.
Okay.
And his fourth ability will envelop everybody in the team in chains. They'll still be able to walk. They're like spiritual chains. And those chains will absorb the damage that they take, and then after a little bit, he'll break the chains off of everybody, and for every point of damage that everybody took, he'll give everybody some attack boost.
That's pretty dope.
He's really cool.
I like that. I liked all of that.
Harrow, I love Harrow.
Harrow?
Harrow.
Does he have a deluxe skin?
He does, and it's also very cool. It's like really Egyptian themed.
Hold on.
Yeah. I love Harrow's
deluxe
skin. See,
if you didn't have to wait 5 to 10 business days for each frame, I'd play this game so much
better. Harrow is also, the deluxe skins are also, you have to pay for them because they have really good artists behind them.
From what I'm gathering so far, it seems like the deluxe skins, it's not like, oh, Warframe put this out. It's this artist put this out in collaboration.
They have a bunch of artists that they are technically employed. Mm-hmm. They're not contracted. They're technically employed, but they're in the background just working on skins. Like the guy I mentioned earlier, Liger Inuzuka, mm-hmm. he used to be like, he used to make fan-made creations for the game mm-hmm. until DE just said, you're so good, we can't not have you around. And they employed him. Now they pay him to make frames. Next up is Gara, and she is the glass frame. She used to be the protector of a settlement on Earth that was being attacked by sentients until she just hit a nuke in her chest and traveled to the sentient, got her shit rocked, and said, ha ha ha, you haven't won, and blew herself up along with the sentient.
That is excessive? No.
The sentients are pretty powerful.
Okay.
Pretty powerful. All of her abilities revolve around glass, as you might assume, but not necessarily just around the shattering of glass. A lot of them do, but not all of them. Her first ability will send out a spear of glass that will just impale anything, or she can just swing it. Her second ability, Splinter Storm, will splinter all of her glass armor and float it around her, making her do more damage to anything that comes close. Her third ability, Spectre Rage, will create a hall of mirrors around enemies, and the way it's described, they will see the worst manifestations of themselves in those mirrors and shoot them on sight.
Oh, God. Okay.
And then as those mirrors get shot, they'll shatter back at them.
Okay. I like that a lot.
Yes. And then her fourth and final ability, Mass Vitrification, will have her generate molten glass that will just expand outwards in a wall, encasing everybody around her.
I need to see more glass-based weapon. I'm here for all of this.
She can also take that glass wall that she generates and shatter it to add more splinters to Splinter Storm, increasing its damage.
Hmm.
Yeah, she's really cool. Korra is up next, and it would be very surface level to call her S&M frame, as many people do. Honestly, if you look into her backstory, the cat that follows her around is more of a main character than she is. She has a cat. This is standard part of her kit. The cat will not leave. You cannot get rid of it. And it can also be brought along with other companions, meaning you can run missions with two cats if you want to. Which
or a cat and a dog.
Two cats.
Sure.
cats are very strong in this game. Her first ability pulls out the whip that she has, and as it's a very explosive whip. It can, like, hits people in an area. Her second ability will basically chain up one enemy, and then chains from that enemy will grab other enemies and suck them in to be grabbed, hit with whip claw. Her third ability, Venari, which is the name of her cat, basically it's the, hey, go do this, go do that ability for her cat. And her fourth ability, Strangledome, will generate...
Strangledome
will generate a dome of chains that will grab enemies and just fling them around.
I see why she's called S&M friend.
Yeah, she's very dommy and very mommy. Revenant is up next, and he's weird. He started out with the devs saying they wanted to create a vampire frame, but I guess that kind of fell through because halfway through they stopped calling him Vampire Frame, and he then became the Eidolon Frame. So his kit's a bit confused. Basically what happened is he was a normal Warframe that got defeated while the Sentients were attacking, got dropped into the lake around the settlement that we just talked about with Gaara, and when that Sentient's energy dispersed into the area, Revenant absorbed it, and he became a weird sentient Warframe hybrid. And so now he kind of just wanders the plains of Eidolon, just doing random stuff, being a ghost. His first ability, Enthrall, will mind control enemies around him. It's a weaker mind control than Nyx, actually, because Nyx will actually make your buddy invulnerable. His buddies are not. But you can have more of them. When they get defeated, they will enthrall other enemies nearby. His second ability, Mesmer Skin, will kind of shunt some of that sentient energy outwards and make it so that any enemy that tries to attack him, the attack damage is nullified and he can enthrall them easier. Kind of like a, say you're Dracula and somebody tries to hit you and you just grab their arm and stare them in the eye. That is what he's doing. His third ability will charge forward with sentient energy, draining health and think energy, depending on how many enemies he hits. And his fourth ability is another spin jutsu ability. He will generate lasers from his fingers and just start spinning around.
Okay.
It's, yeah. Garuda is up next, and she is violence personified.
Like the use of, sorry to interrupt, Warframe usually has like a very like organic feel to it. Mm-hmm. This is the first one I've seen where it looks like muscle and sinew.
Really good. That's the point.
Okay, good.
She is powered by gore, hate, and blood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
She's a cornate demon through and through. Her first ability, Dread Mirror, will have her charge forward towards an enemy and use her claws to rip them in half, and then she channels their viscera into a wall that will take enemy damage and absorb it into a best thing to call it is a spiky gore ball that she can then
called it the Deadpool. God, missed opportunity.
The Deadpool. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. She can then take the Deadpool and she can charge it up like a gross spirit bomb and then throw it at enemies for massive damage.
This is a Kamehameha. The spirit bomb is up here.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't as much of a DBZ. I'm so sorry.
Clear difference.
I'm so sorry. Her second ability will basically impale an enemy with claws from below, and then she will fuel herself with the innard runoff. I'm trying my best to avoid saying the red stuff.
Keep going. Kool-Aid, grape juice.
Kool-Aid. Her third ability... bloodletting.
Yeah, well, we've gotten this far. Sure, why not?
Her third ability, bloodletting, will kind of sacrifice some of her health for a little bit more energy, and she also used to do a bit more damage, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. which was cool. And her fourth ability has her jump up into the air and charge her talons to throw at enemies, making them a little bit more vulnerable to status effects, and obviously doing the damage that having a big talon would be thrown at, would do being thrown at you.
Quite like this one.
She can also, if she has no melee weapon equipped, use the big, like, torso-sized talons that you see on her in her art. Mm-hmm. And they're not the best, but I love them thematically.
I wish they were better.
They are so good. In complete contrast to Garuda...
Why is this one JoJo posing?
Is it JoJo posing? It is JoJo posing. Anyway, in complete contrast to Gerudo, we have Baruch. Baruch is a pacifist who will approach every situation as peacefully and reasonably as he can, resorting to violence as literally the last resort. His first ability will activate Ultra Instinct, dodging any attack that comes at him, as long as he does not attack them back. His second ability, Lull, will put everybody around him to sleep. His third ability, Desolate Hands, I think it's called, will generate some little kunais that float around him and will just instantaneously target enemies' weapons, disabling them. And finally, as the literal last resort, his fourth ability, he cocks his fists.
Oh, he does a full Henry Cavill fist reload?
Yes. He'll pull out his fists, and these things are one of the most powerful exalted weapons in the game. He punches so hard that enemies 10 meters in front of him will take the full brunt of his fists.
Okay, I quite like that.
Yeah,
I quite like the
pacifist. But that is a literal last resort. You have to exhaust every single other option before you can get to that. But when you do,
do you literally have to use every single ability before those are
there? He has a gauge called his restraint gauge.
Oh.
And you have to like use your abilities until you fill the restraint gauge.
And
what's funny is it's like it's a palm that's the logo for the gauge, and it'll progressively get more angry as you go on. It's really cool.
Okay,
it's really cool.
Okay, you're tempting me.
Baruch is one of my favorites.
I see how 2,000 hours went in here. I see it.
Hildren is up next, and she is the shield frame through and through. Her shields are huge. She uses her shields as energy, and she has a huge shield recovery potential. Her first ability pulls out her Balefire Chargers, which she can charge her shields into to throw a big attack at enemies. Mm-hmm. Her second ability, Pillage, will link her shields to everybody around her, and she'll just steal them.
Oh, okay.
Which she can use to overcharge her shields as well. Her third ability, Haven, will link herself and her allies to enemies, doing passive damage for every point of overshield she has. And her fourth ability will levitate her into the air using the immense power of her shields, and it will also levitate everybody else into the air, incapacitating all enemies around her.
That's pretty... Okay.
She's really cool. I love Hildren. Wisp is up next, and she is the spatial manipulator with abilities from the beyond. When she's mid-air, she kind of goes into an in-between state, so she's completely invisible in the air. Her first ability will pull several different flowers from the beyond that will provide different buffs for people, so health, shields, anything. Her second ability will generate a ghastly clone of herself that she will... fly forward, and she can teleport to at any point during the ability. Her third ability will channel some of the outside dimension's energy into our own, blinding enemies and generating sparks of energy that will just travel from enemy to enemy.
Okay.
And then her fourth ability, she opens up a portal to the sun, shunting its energy as a big laser beam towards enemies.
Okay, that's funny.
She can also channel a little bit more energy to widen the portal a little bit, channeling even more of the sun's energy.
So just pocket solar flare.
Pocket solar flare. It's really, really cool. Gauss is the next frame on the list.
I've seen this one.
From the get-go, I'm going to say that him and the next frame are canonically best friends.
Okay.
Like, they are really good friends. They just kind of roam around beating up pirates and... fallen Orican cells, just
speed. This one's
just
speed,
having
right?
fun. This one is speed. Gauss is very, very, very.
This is
fast.
The one I've seen videos of where it doesn't. It is the most accurate Flash gameplay I've ever seen, where you don't even know where you are anymore. Okay.
On launch, his first ability, Mach Rush, the one that makes him go very fast, was so powerful that it would screw up the game's camera. It would flip upside down and go inside out and do a bunch of weird. As well as going very fast, he has a battery, an electromagnetic battery inside of him that he will charge using the static electricity from running okay. so fast. His second ability, kinetic plating, will make it so he is defended against any attack that comes at him.
Kinetic plating.
And it will kind of raise the defense depending on how far his battery is charged. Mm-hmm. His third ability, Thermal Sunder, will use the energy within the battery to either vent and create a bunch of heat around him, absorb the energy around him and flash freeze it, or combine the two effects for weird heat transfer effects. So he can like implode the area or explode the area depending on which effect he's used first.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really unique. And his fourth ability, Redline, just completely unlocks the battery.
Redline.
He can overcharge the battery, making it so he can get to 100% damage to reduction with his kinetic plating, and his thermal sunder effects are infinitely more effective. And because he has unlocked the potential of his battery, he'll just start generating electric flares that will travel from enemy to enemy as he runs past them. He's really, really cool. I love him a lot. Grendel is next, and he is described as the voracious gourmand.
Ah.
He eats a lot. Probably because he has a singularity in his stomach.
I quite like that. I'm here for that.
His first ability, Feast, will suck enemies into that singularity. His second ability, Nourish, will digest one of those enemies, making him a little bit stronger. His third ability, out of nowhere, will make him roll up into a ball like a porcupine, and then he'll travel at Mach f- to go just kill enemies. And his fourth enemy, or his fourth ability, will shotgun out every single enemy that he has eaten.
Vor.
The frame. What's funnier, too, is when he uses Nourish, his second ability, he'll kind of do like a sumo like stomp. And every frame has sound effects that they play when they use an ability, right? Mm-hmm. This one sounds like he's saying ooh-woo.
I know D is very aware of the community, so I wouldn't be surprised if that one was on
purpose. So that is a thing that happens. I love Grendel. Protea is the next frame, and she is also really cool. She is the other gadgeteer of the group, being so talented with gadgets that she's figured out time travel. She was originally a gift from Ballas to a Corpus nobleman. In fact, the Corpus nobleman, the one who founded them all.
Is it that fellow back there?
That's that fellow back there with okay. The golden fist.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what happened was somewhere along the line, there was an assassination attempt made against this guy, and Protea, being the bodyguard of this guy, pulled them both into a time singularity where they were trapped for a very long time until you go to visit and free Protea in the quest. So there's a little bit of story interaction with her. Her first ability will toss balls.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, I don't know why both of the gadgeteers are just, they revolve around balls, but they really like their balls.
Next.
These can either be shrapnel grenades or shield drones, depending on what you want. Her second ability will pull out a drone that will get more accurate and more damaging as it shoots enemies. Her third ability will pull out a dispenser, engineer gaming style. Mm-hmm. And her fourth ability activates the time control that she had before. She does the tracer thing where she'll pick a point at mm-hmm. when she starts the ability, run around, go do whatever she does, and then she'll recall to that point.
Time travel in games is always such a crapshoot.
So awesome.
My favorite example will always go to League when they were first putting in their time traveler, and they had the idea to have this clock that would always remember where everything was exactly like 30 seconds to a minute ago. And whenever he did it, everything would go right back to that.
That is frightening.
And it felt so good for the person causing it and abysmal.
Awful for literally everyone else.
Every other human being.
Including his own teammates?
Including his own teammates.
Was this Zillion?
No, it was Echo.
Really?
That was the first draft of his thing.
Echo used to do that to everybody, not just himself?
And immediately one of the first things that would happen is you'd grab an objective. No, you didn't. Or the more frustrating one that would happen way more frequently is you're just doing your own thing, minding your business. Ah, I'm back 30 seconds.
Great, this is awesome. That's so, a far cry from what he is now.
It resulted in a character where everyone would ban it all the time because, oh my god, I'd hate... Your teammates don't want it. The enemies don't want it. Nobody wants that. And time travel is just a mess in any game it's in, but that... I kind of wish they did it.
It'd be awesome.
League being League, man.
It'd be awesome.
I would love to see what the chat would look like after that. That's all I have to say.
Next up is Jakku, and Jakku is another package deal frame. Being the amalgam of three warframes that were shattered and lost to the void, they kind of gathered themselves together and reformed into one frame. Their first ability, Zata's Whisper, will channel void energy into their weapons, so they'll just always be doing void damage no matter what. Their second ability, Grasp of Lock, will grab a bunch of enemies' weapons and they'll auto turret. They'll float by them and just auto turret. I like that. Their third ability will channel one of the original frame's abilities. So one's a big laser, one will basically armor strip everything in an area, and one will become your friend. So that's a little bit of a look-see into what the three of them did before they became the one. And their fourth ability will shed all of the original shrapnel, like, fragments of the original frames down to the skeleton that they've formed now, making them harder to hit and also obviously hitting a bunch of enemies with so much shrapnel. Lavos is next, and
I love the previous guy's art design.
I love Jakku. Three,
you can tell.
Look up Jakku's deluxe skin right now.
How do you spell Jakku?
Xaku.
I was never gonna get that right. I was never gonna spell that right in a million years. Whoa.
Yeah. It's like very Kintsugi inspired with all of the jade and the gold accents. I love Jakku's deluxe skin.
Okay, next. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Lavos is next, and he's the alchemist of the bunch. And he full sends into that bit. He has a main vial that he can kind of place elements into, like elemental juice into, depending on his abilities. And he's the only frame in the game to work exclusively off of cooldowns instead of energy. Hmm. He has no energy, just cooldowns. His first ability, Ophidian Bite, will have him lash out with the snakes that are on his arms there, dealing a bunch of toxic damage to whatever they hit and regenerating some of his health. His second ability, Vial Rush, has him dash forward, leaving a bunch of shattered vials full of frost juice, freezing enemies behind him. His third ability will send out a drone that will pick up health and energy pickups and then just turn them into universal, so they drop both. And his fourth ability will send out a bunch of napalm drones that go out in a circle and just burn everything in their path.
My favorite science lesson, napalm.
And if I remember correctly, all of those abilities will channel whatever elemental effect you like create in the vial. So you can also just mix and match whenever you want to, and it'll do those effects. He's very cool. Sevagoth is the next Warframe, and he is Warframe's own personal Davy Jones. He was a ship's captain that was lost to the void, whose restless shadow would just find random ships in trouble and just help pick them up. The shadow is what you see in the background of that art there. It's the imposing figure behind him. When he falls in battle, that thing will come out and start attacking enemies and using their souls to try to revive him. But when he's alive, his abilities are a bit different. His first ability will channel the shadow forward and it will just kill things and pick their souls up. His second ability, So, puts a death mark on enemies in front of him that his first ability can capitalize upon. His third ability, Gloom, will send out weakening waves that will make every enemy just weaker in general. And his fourth enemy, depending on how many souls he's picked up with his first and second ability, will channel the shadow completely, allowing him to take it control of it and just whip around with claws. And
this is another one that gets a seal of approval. I like this.
He's really cool. He's really, really cool. As another complete contrast to the last frame, Yareli is a happy-go-lucky surfer girl. She's partnered with a weird alien sea creature that's conveniently surfboard-shaped, and she'll just run around surfing, doing whatever she wants to do. Her first ability, Sea Snares, will create some bubbles that will expand as soon as they touch enemies, drowning them. Her second ability, Marilina, channels that surfboard creature and she'll just start riding around on it. Her third ability, Aqua Blades, will create aquatic saw blades that will just rotate around her, just slicing up everything near her. And her fourth ability will create a tempest anywhere on the battlefield that will suck enemies in and just start smacking them against each other for more damage, and then shooting them out at the top where they will take more damage when they hit the ground.
I like that.
I love Yareli. She's awesome.
I like this new buddy system they seem to have experimented with these
two. Dude, the buddy system is awesome. I love when the frames have buddies. Caliban's up next, and we are going to lightning round through him because, in my humble opinion, he is a worse copy of Revenant from earlier.
Say his name again?
Caliban.
Okay, cool. I misheard you.
Yeah. He's an amalgam of sentient and Warframe technology, exposed to sentient energy and gaining their amazing adaptability. Does this sound familiar?
No, it doesn't.
Revenant.
Okay, cool.
His first ability, Razor Gyre, will make him spin with lasers. His second ability shunts sentient energy into the ground, lifting up enemies and damaging them. His third ability will summon some sentient allies to come fight with him. And his fourth ability will shoot three lasers in front of him that will eventually converge, dealing a bunch of damage when they converge and explode.
I'm a sucker for that.
He's okay. He's only okay. Gyre is up next, and she has quickly become one of my favorites. She has a really, really cool clockwork automata aesthetic going on, and it fits really neatly with her power over electromagnetism. Her first ability, Arc Sphere, launches a big ball of metal and electricity that will just stick and shock anything that comes near it. Her second ability launches a little bit more volatile of an electromagnetic ball that will just shatter and throw a bunch of molten metal everywhere, hitting a bunch of enemies. Her third ability, Cathode Grace, will surge a bunch of electricity through her, making it so her weapons do electricity damage and more of it.
And that is a good pun. Sorry to interrupt.
What?
Cathode Grace.
Cathode Grace? Mm-hmm.
Cathode Rays?
Cathode.
How did you miss that?
I missed the pun.
Here. Okay.
A shame. Wow, kick me off the show. Her fourth ability, Rotor Swell, basically overclocks all of her systems. All of her gears inside start rubbing a little bit more aggressively on each other, making her just passively generate a bunch more static electricity, and you'll just see anything that gets close to her, just immediate lightning strike.
Okay.
This also works very well when she has her augment mod. It will recharge her her third ability, Cathode Grace, so they'll just ping pong their cooldowns off of each other, doing yet more static electric damage. She's really cool. Cyanex is the next frame on this list, and if you like the heroes of Greek myth, you will love this guy. He's very, very Greek myth inspired with his trusty javelin and shield alike. He also recently got a deluxe skin, and it's really, really good. His first ability will basically throw his javelin, impaling any enemy in front of him and exploding as they hit the wall behind them. His second ability will channel his shield, and he'll bash enemies with it, knocking their armor off and giving him a little bit more health for every enemy he hits. His third ability will raise a rallying beacon that will make it so his ally's health recharges a bit faster and he does a little bit more damage. And his fourth ability will summon a phantom fighting squad of Greek heroes to start just chucking javelins at enemies.
Oh, I like this.
It's really cool.
Oh, I like this.
And for every direct hit that one of their javelins does, his damage will increase, and with his augment mod, he will give over health to everybody around him. And a lot of it. He used to be able to get to 100,000 when it was first launched. Yeah. He's really good. Voruna is up next, and she is the wolf.
I can so tell. Sorry, it's just so interesting to see this compared to the ones we started with. My goodness, they've gotten quite the budget. They've
gotten quite the budget. Verona comes so with cool. Not just the frame, but a pack of loyal hunting dogs, or their heads at least. In her backstory, she was originally the security guard, basically, for an Orokin ritual that would happen pretty consistently. But one night, this ritual went completely haywire, summoning a bunch of void ghosts. These void ghosts took down her hunting dogs one by one, and, you know, it'd make me sad too. It made her so sad, she completely screwed up the ritual, covering herself and her dogs' heads in the ritual oils, and came out of it like a completely new being. She's now fused with her pack, and she continues to hunt with them to this day. Uh-huh. which means also that you can kind of channel them and they'll just run around helping you with different effects too. It's awesome. Her first ability will completely render her invisible until she attacks, so she's kind of allowed to stalk the battlefield. Her second ability lashes out with one of her dog's fangs, which will do a lot of damage and deal just a bunch of status effects at once. Like, just random stat effects just taken immediately. Her third ability increases the support drops that enemies that she kills will drop. And her final ability, she will channel forth the oldest and most powerful of her hunting dogs in front of her, and she'll charge at a series of five enemies in a row.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really good.
I like this one.
Citrine is up next, and I swear to God, we are not going to talk about the Citrusy. Citrine was the bodyguard of a couple sent to detonate a biobomb of infested on Deimos to keep it from being acquired by the sentients.
Minutes. You take minutes off the end of my life. Just never getting those back. I can never unhear those words. Sure, why not?
She was sent to go guard...
My eye's twitching now. No, go on. Go ahead. It'll sort itself out.
Sent to go bodyguard a couple that was basically sent on a suicide mission to go detonate a biobomb of infested on Deimos so the sentients couldn't get it in the old war. And inspired by the love and dedication that this couple had for each other, Citrine sacrificed herself, encasing the couple in crystals so that they would always, they could just be immortalized from that point. And the funny thing about these crystals too is if they were ever separated, they will create a void tunnel between them so that they can be brought back together.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's really cool. A lot of her abilities have to do with supporting your teammates and a lot of crystals. Her first ability will just like shunt a bunch of crystals forward that will make enemies drop a bunch more health and shield or energy. Her second ability will make it so she, for every enemy she kills, she gives just passive armor to everybody around her, as well as just passively she regenerates everybody's health just by existing. Her third ability will put out a crystal turret that will, in an area, find enemies that you are attacking and also help out by shooting them with lasers. And her fourth ability will just send a bunch of seeking crystals out that will shunt themselves into an enemy and encase them in crystals immediately, making them easier to damage. And I think she gives a little bit of a buff for that, but I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. She's really cool. Dagath is the next frame, and what I thought just on first glance would be a God of Death allegory got way deeper and way more depressing than I thought. So, backstory. Dagath used to be a cavalry woman assigned to serve an Orican noble couple. This couple saw Dagath from across the bar and really liked her vibe.
Okay.
So things happened, and the couple started tossing gifts at her. One of these gifts was a horse that they only gave to her on the one condition she would not name it, because if she named it, they thought that she would love the horse more than they loved, or more than she loved them. A little bit gaslight here. Mm-hmm. She eventually broke that rule because that was lame and names are sick as hell, and this pissed off the couple, so they arranged for an accident. Surprise, surprise, this accident kills Dagath too, and feeling bad, the couple begs Ballas to make her live forever. And he said sure, and just like that, a finger on the monkey's paw curled. Dagath was returned to them a soulless warframe with a perpetual smile, completely unmoving, basically a zombie that would just joker grin at them the whole time. Mm-hmm. The couple got bored with this and eventually just decided, screw it, let's just kill this thing. So they took the warframe Dagath to an industrial facility where they shot a laser cut her into her face that burned a hole through her head that you can still see today. Somehow Dagath survived, and the new old open concept skull she just acquired made some room for the sense to move back in, and Dagath remembers immediately who she is. She summons a ghostly image of her horse to her side and goes off to take revenge on the couple that abandoned her. After which, she just kind of wanders around as roving spirit until she has a heartwarming talk with a nice granny who gives her a new name and sends her off on her way to go LARP as the Punisher. So that's all well and good. How does she play in the game? Really well. Super big damage. She does her job really well. Her first ability summons a bunch of ghastly scythes that will just seek enemies and do a bunch of damage to them. Her second ability death marks everything in the area that her first ability will capitalize upon. Her third ability, Grave Spirit, boosts her damage and boosts it even further on enemies that have a death mark. And if she dies, no, she didn't. That's a part of the ability.
I'm noticing that's a trend.
Yeah, that's a trend with a couple things. Her fourth ability summons Rakali's cavalry, summoning her horse and a bunch of others to her, charging forward, spreading disease and pestilence. While we're on the topic of betrayal, let's talk Kullervo. Kullervo has been around a while and also has a little bit of a rap sheet with the Orokin. One count of murder, one count of cowardice, one count of flight from custody, cowardice. Two counts of treason, one count of espionage, and finally, one count of attempted regicide. He's kind of been in the background of the Tenno's lives since the beginning, being part of the reason why they rose up and just decided to kill the Seven Emperors. And because of that, he's now, as we meet him, just serving time for his crimes in Duviri. He's just got like seven prisons representing each of his seven crimes. And he's got seven.
Just serving concurrent time? That's a great deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say for all of this espionage and ruthlessness, he plays very cloak and dagger, but it's all dagger and no cloak. His first ability, Wrathful Advance, teleports him behind you, nothing personnel, kiddo, with a heavy attack already charged. Like, he charges the attack before teleporting, and then immediately, pa! His second ability summons daggers that will just seek out enemies, and they will give him overhealth for every enemy they attack. But if a dagger doesn't find an enemy, it'll just impale back into him, dealing damage to him.
Mm.
Yeah. His third ability, Collective Curse, will link a bunch of enemies together, making their health pools linked. So if he kills one, just all keel over. And his fourth ability just summons a swarm of daggers to fall on enemies.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. All daggers, baby.
All daggers. Next up is Corvex, and I personally think his design is really cool. He looks like a living brutalist architecture. Usually I hate that, but you know, when your entire gimmick is being unfathomably radioactive, you need that much concrete. Corvex was specifically designed by Albrecht to protect people from the massive amount of radiation from the void that his labs are full of. And so he's pretty much a counter to all of that void energy. His first ability drops a tower that just pulses radiation out at enemies, slowing them because, yeah. Pocket
control rod, go.
Pocket control rod, go. Exactly. His second ability, Containment Wall, will bring up two concrete walls from the ground and just clap them together. If that crush didn't kill you, the radiation that they cause will. His third ability, Dysometric Guard, will create a bunch of little concrete shields around him that will protect him from any form of status effects. And his fourth ability, Crucible Blast, is literally just the chest laser Iron Man has, but Chernobyl, powered by Chernobyl instead of the arc reactor.
Mm.
Yeah. Last but not least is Dante, and he is new, like 2 weeks ago new. And I'll be dead honest, I have not had the chance to like play him yet.
I already like his design.
His design is really cool. I will summarize his lore here, but I will not summarize his abilities because I have not had the chance to play him yet, and I don't want to give you just some Wikipedia rambling. Dante is one of the few Warframes that is completely 100% autonomous. He does not.
Looks like it.
As far as we know, he does not have a controller. He's also really smart.
How does that work out? I thought you were supposed to control all of these at some point. Okay, fair enough.
Don't know.
Okay.
He's actually so smart and so autonomous that he writes entire dissertations on the history of Earth. Like, he's really smart. He writes books that the rest of the Orokin were referencing for knowledge. Yeah. He was really good friends with a bunch of historians. There's a guy named Drusus Laverian. I've told you about Albrecht and Trotty and his friend Lloyd. He's friends with all of them. So when Albrecht and Trotty went disappeared, Dante got a little bit concerned. I was like, where'd my buddy go? So he decided to travel into Albrecht's labs to figure out what the hell, where'd he go? And you know what the labs are like. They're full of void energy. Dante could not withstand this. So all of the void energy kind of seeped its way into his head, corrupting him and kind of tempting him with, hey, we have esoteric and forbidden knowledge. Come with us. And Dante knows himself enough to know, I cannot resist knowing more things. So he delves into this void energy until he realizes with the help of his friend Drusus Laverian that if any of this knowledge leaves his head, leaves the rest of, like, gets out into the solar system, it's over. Like, somebody will either abuse this power or the void will just completely corrupt the entire solar system. So instead of, you know, taking it in little by little, trying to resist it, he just completely immerses himself into it, expecting the overpowering nature of the void energy to just kill him on sight. Which it doesn't, because the entities in the void are really, 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 really tricky. The void being the, I can't remember its name off the top of my head, I don't think he technically has a name, just things we've given him, teleports him off to somewhere and just continues to corrupt him, not letting him die. Ugh. Yeah. So Dante is off somewhere. I imagine the corruption that the void has done to him has rendered him now no longer autonomous as he was before. And that would be why we get to play him as a Warframe today. Yeah. Again, I won't speak on the abilities because I haven't gotten the chance to play him, but he does look very, very cool. Now, after hearing all of that knowledge, who do you think you'd pick as your signature Warframe?
Ooh, there's a couple of strong contenders.
Yeah?
There's a couple of strong contenders. I don't know them by name. I quite like the pirate one.
The pirate one?
Floating over his chest. The Greek one, I'm a big fan of. The various wolves, the shattered one. That's three of them glued together.
Dude, Jakku is so awesome.
The pacifist. The pacifist and his very angry counterpart, who was just abuse incarnate.
Garuda. Yes. I love Garuda.
The weird one with all the infection and the tentacles.
Nidus?
Yes. I think those ones. Those ones are the ones that most interested me.
Those are the ones that you would probably pick as your...
Yeah, I'm looking through them real quick. Yeah, those are the ones. The others...
Yeah, the other ones have their charm, yeah, but like do, but some of them also have very much you needed to be there energy. Like Frost was really good early in the game. Loki's been kind of left in the dust as well. Things don't really... He doesn't really have a niche that he fits anymore, but a lot of the newer frames have so much lore and backstory to them, and they have such like together kits that it's so good to see them.
Oh, and the Radiation Man.
The Radiation Man, Corvax.
I will never beat the Edgelord allegations. I just realized I picked only the edgiest ones, but that's fine, because the edgier ones are cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'd love a little bit of edge. Mm-hmm. Edge is awesome.
And that does bring an end to this episode. We will see you next week for one of the winners of the poll that is out there that you can vote on. And, well, no, probably one of that. But if you want to see more of this, please let us know in the comments. And as always, thank you for being you.